How many of you are blessed this morning? And if you don't believe you're blessed, it's only because you don't know the truth. I got to find something in this Bible here. I'm going to surprise you this morning. Thanksgiving. Now, you know, you say the word Thanksgiving. What do you picture? I don't know about you, but me, when I hear somebody talk about Thanksgiving, I see a little pilgrim with one of those black hats on, a little white buckle on the front of it. And you know why they celebrated Thanksgiving? It wasn't because they were thanking the Indians, because they kept them from dying during the winter. The pilgrims actually made friends with the Indians. They were on good terms. It's the people that came over here later looking for wealth that found themselves at odds with the Indians. But the Indians taught the pilgrims how to plant corn, taught them how to trap beaver and how to kill for food, for meat, how to make clothes out of the animal skins, but in that day when we got Thanksgiving, it was because they were thankful to God for his goodness to them and for his care for them. And I think about, I didn't look this up because I wasn't going to give any details on it, but I think there was something like 144 people on the Mayflower. Something that might not be exactly right. And I believe 60 of them were the pilgrims. Something like that. 40 were pilgrims. And half of them died the first winter. They were still thankful. Some of them starved. Some of them died of exposure. Some of them through other means. But when it came time and they sat down and they said, God, we're thankful. And you know, today, Thanksgiving is usually, and I don't mean the holiday Thanksgiving, but Thanksgiving from the heart. Giving of thanks is based upon how well things are going. The barometer of thanksgiving is in direct proportion to the quality of life that people live. And that's not thanksgiving. That's feeling good about your circumstances. But you have got to learn to be thankful when you don't like your circumstances. Because grumbling and complaining and being dismayed and downhearted because of what's going on around you will never get you out of what's going around you. If you're old, poor as me all the time, a year from now you're going to be old, poor as me. When things change, I'm going to quit saying, oh, poor is me. I got news for you. Nothing's going to change. But if you want to change things, kick up your Thanksgiving a gear. I won't say that you need to start giving thanks, because I think that most of us, all of us, I would say, to some degree, give thanks. But we don't give thanks like it was meant for us to give thanks. And we don't give thanks for the things that we need the most to be thankful for. I'm going to read you a scripture. At least I got one left that Sister Sherry didn't read. But that's okay. I'm not complaining. That just shows we're in harmony. Psalm 136. Now, like I said this in the article in the bulletin, there are hundreds of admonitions in the scripture that telling us to be thankful, to have thanks, to talk about giving of thanks. Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. It doesn't say, oh, give thanks to the Lord when you get everything you need from him. Thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Now, I'm going to read one more verse of this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. Now, what does he say give thanks to God about? That his mercy endures forever. Let me read you a definition of the word translated mercy. And endures. His mercy endures. The literal meaning is because forever his mercy. Because forever his mercy. The Hebrew word chesed is also translated loving kindness, unfailing love, and steadfast covenant love, and is similar to the New Testament word grace. God's love or mercy is repeated line by line in this poem, Psalm 136. Do you remember the song that we sang? Oh, give thanks to the Lord our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. That's another one of the Psalms. His love. What I give thanks for? God's love. Too often my thanksgiving and your thanksgiving too either rises or falls based upon what we're having happen to us or around us at any particular time. But it's something that shouldn't fluctuate because God's love never fluctuates. The one sure thing is that God's going to love you forever no matter what you are. Well, why doesn't he do something for me? He's going to love me no matter what, forever, no matter what. Let me give you another scripture. I'm not going to tell you where it is because I didn't write it down, but also because you need to look it up. They shall prosper that love the Lord. They shall prosper that love the Lord. If you had millions of dollars, lived in a million-dollar home, drove a whatever car you wanted to drive, you could drive a Rolls Royce if you wanted to, but you could drive the most expensive Mercedes on the road. You could eat in steakhouses like Ruth Chris, where you pay $100, $200 for a meal. You had a good job. Family. Spouse and children and a nice family pet. Could could go to football games, basketball games, baseball games, whenever you wanted to. Could go to the theater anytime you wanted to. Just, you had anything that was available that you wanted. And one morning, everybody picks up the newspaper, and it says, so-and-so committed suicide last night. It's happened. And it happens on a regular basis. Is it because those people are not thankful for what they have? No, I don't think they're thankful for it. They may appreciate. They may be appreciative of the hard work that they had to put in to having it. But the problem is this. They don't have the most important thing that makes all those other things worthwhile. And that's peace of mind. That's a security of somebody loving you. It's a security of knowing that there is somebody with you at all times that said he would never ever leave you nor forsake you. It's easy to be thankful when we start realizing what's the most important thing to be thankful for. I thank God for all that he's done for me. I thank God even when I was at my lowest, he was still there. Even when things look really, really bad, there was still something to hold on to. God's love and God's grace. Now let's jump over to 1 Thessalonians. You heard this morning, but I'm going to read it again. Rejoice always. Two words, and that's in chapter 5 and verse 16. Two words. Rejoice. Do you have a picture in your mind of what it means to rejoice? Okay, it says, do that always. You wake up some morning, with the attitude, I don't feel like being thankful this morning. We may not say it, but a lot of times we exhibit it. Things are not going the way I want them to go, so what do I have to be thankful about? Depends on how much you know. And how much you believe. And how much of it you apply to your situation. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That means communicate with God without ceasing. Be in communication with God without ceasing. Know that God is sitting next to you without ceasing. Know that he's going to be with you wherever you go without ceasing. He's going to move without ceasing. Now what you got to do is just rejoice because he's doing what he's doing without ceasing. Rejoice always. God has good things in store for us. He has good things planned for us. And with that, let me read you the next verse. In everything, give thanks. Now, there's a real important word at the beginning of that verse. And it's not for. It's in. In everything, give thanks. Whatever's happening around you, whatever's going on around you, give thanks. You know, Peter was perfectly at peace when he was chained in his cell that night, knowing that tomorrow, the next morning, he was going to die. That was the schedule. It was on the wall. Peter dies at 6 in the morning. There wasn't any doubt what was going to happen to him as far as circumstances. Peter was sleeping. Now that's peace. And why could he sit in that cell and sleep when the next morning he was scheduled to be executed? Most people that I know of, and I'm not sure that I wouldn't be one of them, would probably be sitting up all night, and if you weren't worried about it, you'd at least be thinking about it and contemplating it, and you certainly wouldn't be able to lay down and go to sleep because of it. But Peter did, because he had the confidence that whatever happened to him that next morning, God was in control of him. He was in control of his life. And simply by the fact that he was asleep and at peace means that he was giving thanks. He lived the thankful attitude. Now, here is where the fat hits the fire. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do you know how often that scripture is misused? How often that scripture is interpreted totally out of the context in which it was written? It is not saying that it is God's will what's happening to you, so be thankful about it. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There have been many, many preachers stood in the pulpit and said, well, you know, everything, God wants you to be thankful because it's his will, whatever you're going through. What the writer means here is it's God's will for you to rejoice. It's God's will for you to give thanks. Paul and Silas at midnight sitting in the Philippian jail, singing songs and praising God. Beat up, beat to pieces, blood probably running down, rats running around in the dark, they couldn't hear. And it ran over their leg. Now think about it. How would you like to be sitting in the dark where you couldn't see nothing and feel something run across your leg and know it was a rat? There was a lot, there would be a lot of people that wouldn't think that was a time to think, to be thankful for anything. But in everything, give thanks. It's God's will that you give thanks. Why? Because when you give thanks, it'll put you at peace with God. And when you're at peace with God, you won't have to worry about anything. And when you're at peace with God, prosperous are the ones who love God. Prosperous. I consider my life to be a prosperous life. But it's been more prosperous for the inner man And as for the outer man, he's just along a while for the ride. The inner man is forever. Though the outward man perish, the inner man is being renewed day by day. What renews him? The presence of the Spirit of God, the mercy of God. You know, this is interesting. Throw this out, I actually found out this and studying this. In the Old Testament, the word thanks, like we have here in 136. Oh, I'll give thanks to the Lord our God. That is from a word that means a stretched out hand. I'll give thanks to the Lord. You're reaching out to something. It's a stretched out arm. You're reaching out to the presence of God to be with you in every circumstance and every situation that you find yourself in. Now, the word thanks in the New Testament is an interesting word. It is the Greek word eucharistos. Now, some of you may not know this, but the general religious term for communion is the Eucharist. The Eucharist. That's what the word's translated most times in the New Testament when it says thanks. So now when we partake of the Eucharist, which is the cup and the bread, what we're doing, should be doing, is viewing it as a thanks to God for what Jesus Christ did for us. When we can catch on to thanksgiving at its highest level, it will supersede any faulty situation beneath it. When I realize that I've got something to be more thankful for than my house I live in, I've got something to be more thankful for than the car I drive, I've got something to be more thankful for than the job I have. And that is that His mercy endures forever. For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave to you. He made you His child. He made you one with Jesus Christ. Now, let's go back a couple of pages here to Philippians. Before I use the scripture, every chapter in the book of Philippians tells us something, the same thing in all four chapters, or five chapters rather, the same thing, let me see. No, there's four. I had a senior moment there. Four chapters, and there's one thing that we are told to do in every one of those chapters. Rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice always. In Thessalonians. Rejoice always. That means that you don't get a sabbatical to stop rejoicing when things are really bad and you're not really happy about them. You know, anybody can rejoice when things are good. But only the person that really trusts God can rejoice when they're not. They really love God. Verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. No, let me look here. I got to find out. Yeah, that's it. It is. Be anxious. Now, how much peace can you have when you're anxious? Kind of difficult, isn't it? Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. In everything, prayer and supplication, and your prayer and supplication needs to be given unto God, wrapped in thanksgiving. You know, when you're praying, and your heart is so heavy because of a situation, and your tears, you can't keep from shedding tears, and you're groaning, and travailing, and any other word you want to use, you're admonished, don't lay aside thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. And again, it doesn't mean that you're thanking God for what's going on. Oh, God, I thank you for giving me the strength to endure this broken leg that you caused. You see what I'm saying? Let's raise the level of thanksgiving. Let thanksgiving not be proportionate to what we're going through, but let it be proportionate to what we know that God has done for us in Jesus Christ. His love endures forever. Let your requests be made known to God. When you pray for the darkest things, when you pray for the most contemptible situation, whatever you pray for, thank God, not for that, but thank God that He's taken care of you and that you're not going to perish in that. You're not going to be caught. It's not going to be all of us have had things that we've had to deal with that haven't been suddenly. Now, suddenly it happens, but there's a lot of things maybe that are in the process that build up to the suddenly. Just like Sister Shirley said. And one of the things that is a big contributing factor in getting out of something you don't like being in is thanking God from your heart. Not for the thing you're in, but for the fact that the Word of God says that you can get out of it. That God will take care of you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Never. No, never. So when you let things, your prayer and supplication, be wrapped in thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, And the peace of God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What amplifies the peace of God? Your thanksgiving. It'll amplify the peace of God in your life if the circumstances don't even change. If you still have to battle through them, face them, go through them, not knowing what God's going to do, but believing that God is going to do something for you and that you are thankful for it. Learn to live a life of thanksgiving. Prioritize. The things that you're thankful for. And you'll find something. Start at the top and work your way down. This is the only place that you started at the top and you didn't know to have to work your way down. Learning to praise God regardless. Learning to rejoice regardless. Learning to give thanks to God regardless. Because it's a thief that comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. James says, every good and perfect gift is from above. It cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. In other words, good gifts that are coming down from God never change into bad gifts. God doesn't bless you today and smack you tomorrow. He doesn't take care of you today and step on you tomorrow. And like Laverne said, even if he felt like it, he wouldn't do it. And if he disciplines you, it's not going to hurt you in the long run. But he's not going to discipline you, but breaking your leg. Not going to get your attention by giving you cancer. Now the thing about it is, some of the things that the devil does, if we're in right relationship with God, we know what to do when the devil comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. We turn to God who gives us life and gives us life abundantly, and we see the victory. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nay, but in all things we're more than conquerors. But that only comes in association with thanks. Thankfulness and thanksgiving. Live a life of thankfulness. Live a life of thanksgiving. And you'll have the best life you can have. Let's stand.
Six was one of my devotions this week, and I read it in the Message Bible. So now, instead of saying, you know, normally in King James it says, his love endures forever. This is what I want you to do. I'm going to read a statement, and I want you to say, his love never quits. Say that.
His love never quits.
All right, I'm going to read something. When I point to you, I want you to say that, and I want you to believe what it says. You know, this is out of Psalm 136. All right. Thank God, for he deserves your thanks.
Love never quits.
Thank the God of all God.
His love never quits.
Thank the Lord of all lords.
His love never quits.
Thank the miracle-working God.
His love never quits.
The God whose skill formed the cosmos.
His love never quits.
The God who laid out earth on ocean foundations.
His love never quits.
The God who filled the skies with light.
His love never quits.
The sun to watch over the sky.
His love never quits.
The moon and stars as guardians of the night.
His love never quits.
The God who struck down the Egyptian firstborn.
His love never quits.
And rescued Israel from Egypt's oppression.
His love never quits.
Took Israel in hand with his powerful hand.
His love never quits.
Split the Red Sea right in half.
His love never quits.
Led Israel through the middle.
His love never quits.
Dumped Pharaoh and his army in the sea.
His love never quits.
The God who marched the people through the desert.
His love never quits.
Smashed huge kingdoms right and left.
His love never quits.
Struck down the famous kings.
His love never quits.
Struck Sihon, the Amorite king.
His love never quits.
Struck Og, the Bashanite king.
His love never quits.
Then distributed their land as booty.
His love never quits.
Handed the land over to Israel.
His love never quits.
God remembered us when we were down.
His love never quits.
He rescued us from the trampling boot.
His love never quits.
He takes care of everyone in time of need.
His love never quits.
Thank God who did it all.
His love never quits.
Wow, that's a way to read the song. How about
that? Amen. I think we were.
Hallelujah. You want to ask the blessing? Is Chicken Man here? I smell it. I think he's here. You know, last time he went to the wrong place and tried to get our chicken. But this time when I sent him the text to get the chicken, I went Kroger. He was at Walmart trying to get our Kroger chicken. Okay, there's a bucket on the back table for the special blessing for Mr. Bobby Johnson. God, he's healed in Jesus' name.
And,
he's going to be a mighty miracle man.
But he has, when did you, 7th, is it the 17th? 12th. 13th, okay. Well, there's only 31 days, so we could keep on doing that the right one. Okay. Now, I just want to share something else. I mean to share it. I meant to share it last week, but I didn't, so I'll share it today. On January the 3rd, you know, medical science is always making progress. On January the 3rd, I go to Lexington to have my vocal cord permanently fixed. And I will sound somewhat of a resemblance of what you remember it used to sound like. And it's a little more complicated than the other stuff that they've done. But it's going to work. And I am looking forward to it. I can. Does anybody have a prayer request before I pray for the food and for the lunch? Anybody have a prayer request?
Oh.
Wow. All right. And Danny told me when I came in this morning that Jean Conover's wife passed away. And Jean's a pastor of the Church of God here in Columbia. He was pastoring that when we moved back to Columbia. So he's, I don't know, but he may be the longest term pastor in the county. And now the ones of you that had a prayer request, won't you just lift your hand before God? Lord God, you see these hands, you've heard these requests. We believe right now, Lord God, that you care, that you are a God of healing, that you are a God of provision, that you're a God of comfort. Comfort the boys as they lost their grandmother today. Just thank you, Lord, for giving them strength and encouraging them. And we just come against that headache that Monica's having. We rebuke it in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Lord God, for touching her. And for the helm boy. We lift him up and thank you, Lord God, for touching him. And Father, I pray right now your healing power will just reach out and touch anyone in this building. That'll reach out in faith like the woman with the issue of blood. So if I can touch his garment, I know I'll be healed. And I thank you, Lord God, for touching my son, Scott. I thank you, Lord God, for touching Jack and Patsy Ernest. Being with them, Lord God, your supernatural healing power flowing through their bodies. We thank you for that. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us. Thank you that your love endures forever. And that your goodness is running after us. We thank you for that. Thank you for blessing this coming week. Well, thank you, Lord God, for blessing now as we have a time of fellowship and fun together and we share the meal, and we ask you to bless it and bless each one that had a part in helping it to come to pass. Thank you, Lord God, for your loving kindness, and thank you, Lord God, for the greatness that you have exhibited toward us. Remind us, Holy Spirit, to be thankful. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.